Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors and artists about baseball books, music, film, pretty much anything you can fit on a bookshelf. And that's the slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. Brad Manjin has been a sports photographer for a couple of decades now. He's a regular for Major League Baseball, and his work has also appeared in Sports Illustrated, among other publications. So is it some surprise that rather than reject the photographic social phenomenon of Instagram, he's embraced it? So much so that he published a book, Instant Baseball, The Baseball Instagrams of Brad Manjin, earlier this year. I spoke with Brad about the seeming contradiction. Brad Manjin, welcome to the bookshelf.
Thanks for having me. It's really cool to be here.
The first question I have you, and please don't take this the wrong way, but are you crazy? I mean, you're a professional.
Just a little bit. I'm just a little crazy.
You're a professional photographer, and it's like you're giving the approval of people to take over your profession by using their cell phones to take pictures.
Well, not really. You take an amateur with a cell phone, and the pictures are still going to, they're not going to be as good as someone like mine who, because I've been doing this for 25 years as a pro, and, my pictures they've looked so good on my Instagram account that I shoot my iPhone that so many people don't believe I shoot them with my iPhone.
Now, those who don't know, and once again, the name of your new book is Instant Baseball, The Baseball
yes.
Instagrams of Brad Manjin.
Yes.
And you've been a freelance photographer for outlets such as Sports Illustrated, Major League Baseball for more than 20 years, correct?
Yes, that is true.
Okay, so what gave you the idea to go this route?
Well, I mean, I still earn my living shooting ball games with my big expensive cameras and lenses, but I'm a photographer, and if you talk to anyone my age who's been around who loves photography and does this for a living, not just a hobby, I got into this because I love taking pictures, and I've been doing it for a long, long time, and I love the game of baseball, and there's so many wonderful visuals in baseball, especially when you get to the park early, anywhere from the grounds crew to all the gear and equipment in the dugouts, from, balls and bats and helmets and pine tar rags and Moda sticks and donuts and stuff. And I had some friends that were doing stuff with the iPhone a few years ago, just as a fun way of shooting goofy little pictures. And I couldn't have an iPhone because at the time it was only AT&T, and AT&T did not work in my house. So I knew I wanted an iPhone because I'm a Mac guy. I want to do all my work on my pictures. And so I finally got an iPhone in the winter of 2012, and went to spring training last year in February for SI. I always go to Arizona to cover all the 15 teams down there for the baseball preview issue. But I wanted to goof around with my iPhone. And the thing that's hard to explain to people is, because I'm a photographer and I always have all this gear, when I'm not working, I don't have a camera with me. But I still look and see visual things. And there are so many times that I would say, God, that would be make for a good picture, but I would never shoot it. Well, now suddenly my phone was a camera, so I always have my phone with me. So I use it as a challenge to look at things differently and send them out over the Instagram social media network. Because as a freelance photographer, we rarely get published. We shoot a lot of stuff that pleases editors, but hardly any of it ever gets in the magazine. So it's fun to show people what I see, type up a caption, send it out. It's like my own little wire service that I'm publishing to, and show people, this is happening right now. Adrian Beltre is getting ready for his first at-bat in the dugout right now at the Oakland Coliseum and stuff like that. And it just kind of took off from there.
So when did you get the idea to put this out as a book?
After I kept shooting, I started in spring training last year, and after the first month or two of the regular season, I have a baseball picture editor at SI named Nate Gordon, who's super great editor, and was very encouraging and loved what I was doing with the iPhone. And he said, we're going to try and get this stuff published in the magazine. And then just a little over a year ago, last July, SI published 18 of my baseball Instagrams, all shot with my iPhone, over all six pages of leading off, three consecutive double truck spreads, and got a lot of attention. And when I saw it in print, I realized that this could be a cool idea for a book, and I contacted my agent and kept shooting, and we had a book deal by early September of last year. And I knew I would be shooting through the World Series because I shoot the World Series every year for Major League Baseball. So it ended up just being a fun run where I kept trying to plug holes and shoot different teams that came through the Bay Area and continued shooting all the way up through the Giants World Series parade on Halloween Day.
Now, let me ask you, as a professional photographer, do you get treated differently? Like when you're shooting a ball player with your iPhone, do they react differently than when you're shooting with a camera?
You know, they really, it's been more of a, more on my end, like feeling kind of goofy sometimes with, you know, holding a phone. Usually when I'm shooting in the dugout, I do a lot of stuff. If you see the book or see my Instagram feed, we're blessed in Oakland to have one of the last awful ballparks that has one redeeming quality, and there's no fence in front of the dugout. There's no rail. There's no nothing. And so I'm able to, like, hang out in the dugout, sit on the steps, and photograph the guys goofing around, you know, right up until the first pitch. A lot of guys will pose for us, and you'll see guys getting their batting gloves on and applying pine tar and getting ready. And so I'm always shooting that with my real cameras, too. But now I just also have my phone, so I kind of go both ways.
I don't want to get too technical here, but you have a page in the book where you discuss what apps you use for editing and whatnot. How long did it take you to do you try a lot of different apps, or you just, you know, find something you like and that's it?
I'm pretty old school. I hate change. Once I find a couple of apps I like, I pretty much use them to death. And one thing I talk about in the book is I practiced a lot in the winter before I went to spring training a year and a half ago on my cats, Mike and Willie. I would try different apps and sometimes I'd make the pictures black and white or sepia tone, or sometimes I'd leave them in color. And then I just, once I started shooting the baseball, kept trying to break things up so every picture didn't look the same. And sometimes just the picture would dictate that it would be better black and white or sepia tone to give it an old feel. And my goal was at the end of the year, by the time I had the book deal, I wanted everything to, you know, not be the same. And so I have kind of a style. All my pictures have a certain look to them, and I'm just kind of continuing it because I like continuity.
You shoot with digital medium?
Yeah, my regular. If you work for anybody these days on deadline or any type of a print publication or online place, you need to shoot digital. We switched to digital in 2003. So
if you had experience using analog, you know, old school.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm 48 years old and this is all I've ever done. So I started shooting film the old school way in high school in 1981, and I'm of that age, and I'm very lucky, I believe, to have done it the old way and made my own prints and, you know, understand that a bad exposure can make it hard to make a print, therefore my exposures are good. And then we shot nothing but slide film for publication up until 2003. So, I've done it all. I've done everything you could possibly do with the medium of photography.
Now, I'm wondering, the people of your, for lack of a better word, generation, which is my generation too, by the way, who have worked with both, how they come to it differently than younger photographers who are just working with digital. I mean, you can go with digital, you have no worries about how many pictures you take because it doesn't cost you anything to reproduce them.
Right.
You just fiddle away, and I wonder if that's beneficial to them or if they're missing out on something.
Well, because I'm like the old school curmudgeon photographer, I like to believe that the way I did it and my peers around my age was the best way, because you really learned that if you make a mistake, you have no pictures. And the exposure was so critical, and you really had to learn the math and, you know, how the shutter speeds and apertures react to, you know, limit or the amount of light that hits the film and blah, blah, blah. And it's a lot of tricky math to learn. And now you don't need to, and the exposures don't really mean anything because there's so much latitude with the digital, and you know you have your pictures as soon as you shoot them. I mean, working for SI, it was the ultimate scary deal. You'd shoot a big ball game, and you'd go to the airport and put 25 or 30 rolls of color slide film on an airplane on United Flight 78, ship it counter-to-counter from SFO to Newark, and the Time Life Lab would develop the film the next morning, and you know, the editors would see all your mistakes and everything. So, therefore, you better not make any mistakes. If you do, you're not going to work anymore. But it was scary. You'd go to bed not knowing if you made that picture or not. Mm-hmm. And now you know instantly whether you got the picture or not.
That's why I marvel at the really old-school photographers like a Conlon who managed to take amazing, considering the kind of equipment they had to use, it's amazing the kind of action stuff they were able to get.
Yeah, I mean, Conlon, you know, many people know him more for his portraits, but, I mean, he made the quintessential Ty Cobb picture in 1909, sliding into third base, that everyone has seen over and over again, and to shoot that with the large format that he did, one frame at a time. Oh my goodness!
With no, second chance.
Yeah, unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable. Yeah, it's the folks that did this over the years, way before I started, had to do it with just archaic stuff, and even before I did in the 70s and 80s, the lenses weren't as good, the film wasn't as good, and the images were a lot grainier than they were in my day. The films had improved so much. And, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, photography just keeps changing and changing and changing. Yet it's still about the image. You still got to see, and doing what I do, I'm a journalist. You got to tell stories. You have to tell the story of the winners and the losers and who's hot and who's not. And, you know, that's what the editors want to see.
Do you think you would have liked to have been around when photographers were allowed to be on the field writing
that? That would have been amazing. You know, and at Tiger Stadium, you were able to shoot on the field because it was like old school. And I was never able to do that, to go back there. I shot there once, but I was not allowed on the field because I was working for Upper Deck and they wouldn't let card companies on the field. But that was one of the last places. Also Cleveland, Old Municipal Stadium, they let you shoot, you know, not way out on the field, but you were, you know, kneeling in the dirt warning track next to the dugouts.
I have a recollection a few years ago of the All-Star game where there were photographers down all in foul territory during home run derby.
Yeah, we do that. Like,
that's
crazy.
It's
good. You have to because the players of the home run derby, they don't sit in the dugout. They all sit on the field with their kids and stuff. And so in order to shoot the home run derby, you can't shoot them from the photo positions. I mean, I was just in New York for the All-Star game last month, and I've done a lot of these games. And, yeah, you have to line up and sit on the grass down both foul lines because you got a job to do. And it's amazing just by luck how no one's gotten just completely smoked. I mean, it came close a couple times this past year, but it's, you know, trust me, I'm as big of a wimp as anyone. And, you know, I do not, getting hit, getting smoked with a ball, you know, that the guy's trying, that Prince Fielder's trying to crush over the fence it would not be very pleasant.
No. In your book and in your pictures, you take not just people, not just the players, you take fans, you take objects, you take cloud formations, sunsets. You have a favorite thing to shoot?
You know, it kind of depends on the mood and what I'm doing and who's in town. I love being able to get some of the little portraits of some of the guys, like when the Reds and Brandon Phillips were in town last year, and I went up to Brandon and I told him, you know, you have just the best smile in baseball. This is right after batting practice. I said, will you please give me like 30 seconds here in the dugout? And I shot like three frames and made a beautiful smiling portrait of him. That's one of my favorite pictures in the book. I mean, stuff like that is pretty rare. It's something that is, you're not able to get a lot. And a lot of the players, you know, they're busy and you try not to bother them, but a lot of the guys are loose before a game, and they don't mind, and it helps break. I think the things, because I've been a journalist so long and have had worked with a lot of good editors that want to see variety, you know, I teach myself I need, you know, okay, I need some players, I need some equipment, I need, you know, I need a little of everything. And when I'm leaning too heavy on one subject, I try and break off and shoot more of something else. And there's always something with baseball. You know, in the Bay Area, I got two teams. So I got both leagues coming through. There's always different teams coming through. And we got Manny Machado and the Orioles coming through San Francisco this week. And, you know, I'm going to have, you know, I just think the world of him. And, you know, one of my goals is to try and get a nice Instagram of him this weekend.
Yeah, the players more and more are using all kinds of devices that include cameras, iPads, and whatnot. Do they ever ask you for advice?
You know, sometimes guys have. One of my favorite guys who has been, he's a super talented artist in many different facets, is Barry Zito. And when I met Barry, when he was coming up with the A's over 10 years ago, he was really getting into photography, and he's a smart guy, and he would hang out behind the backstop at the Coliseum, you know, a starting pitcher when he's not throwing, doesn't have to do much. And he would talk to me and other photographers about what we're shooting and what the settings were. And you know, guys are, more and more guys get into it. And you know, I'm seeing photographers, like I just found yesterday, a couple new players that are using Instagram. And like Howie Kendrick of the Angels has an Instagram account, and he's into photography. And a lot of these guys goof around with pictures because they're on the road a lot and they have a lot of dead time. It's either, you know, go to the mall, sleep in, watch soap operas, or wander around with their cameras or their phones and take pictures.
A nice, clean hobby to have.
Yeah.
I've been talking with Brad Manchin, who is author of the new book, Instant Baseball, the Baseball Instagrams of Brad Manchin. You can find more of his work on manchinphotography.com. Brad, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thanks, Ron. I had a great time.
And that was the Bookshelf Conversation with Brad Manchin. Tune back again soon, and our next guest will be Thomas Dija, author of the 1997 Civil War baseball novel, Play for a Kingdom. Remember, visit us regularly at Ron Kaplan's baseballbookshelf.com for the latest baseball book news as well as other media, and pick up a copy of 501 Baseball Books Fans Must Read Before They Die, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and hopefully your local bookstore. Thanks again, everybody. Talk to you soon.